Welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. That's right, we continue yet again with more announcements from reInvent. First, this is sponsored by Chaos Search. So many companies can be defined by what they do, but I prefer to define Chaos Search in terms of what it does not do. It does not sue its customers. It does not threaten to sue its customers. It does not confuse lawsuits for sales pitches. It does not require you to manage your own Elasticsearch cluster. It does not require you to spend inordinate amounts of money and engineering resource in keeping Elasticsearch up and running. No, your data lives in S3, and it lets you query that data using the Elasticsearch-compatible API. It is a fantastic service. I'm a huge fan of the product. Take a look at what they've done and thank them as well if you wind up talking to them for providing me a place to leave my stickers during reInvent. To learn more, visit Chaos Search. So what did they do last week that was ridiculous at reInvent? Oh, so many things. You can now run IP multicast workloads in the cloud using AWS Transit Gateway just as soon as this generation of cloud engineers learns what the hell multicast is. You can now run serverless Kubernetes pods using Amazon EKS and Fargate. What is the difference between those things, you might reasonably ask? How does this differ from ECS? Well, it doesn't, except it's the same thing under the hood, but when you call it Kubernetes, they make it more expensive and have a cron job that randomly degrades the network so it feels just like real Kubernetes. There's an Amazon EC2 update, INF1, that's INF1 instances, with AWS Inferentia chips for high-performance, cost-effective inferencing. That's right, these are high-performance instances used for machine learning, powered by the Inferentia chip, which is itself named after what the president has. These are going to be huge news for anyone doing long, expensive training runs. Take a look. Tell me what you think. There were a number of Amazon Redshift updates. For example, there's next generation compute instances called RA3, and they do managed analytics optimized storage. Redshift has really undergone a renaissance this past week. There are a number of various enhancements we'll be getting to shortly, but pay attention to this. If you're using Redshift, it got cheaper and more capable. If you're not using Redshift, feel free to play with it, but be warned, bring money. Money is important. This one is actually a neat SageMaker offering. Introducing Amazon SageMaker Studio. It is the first fully integrated development environment for machine learning. Could you use Vim to do this, like most of the rest of us do who've been using this for at least a sufficient length of time? Of course, but then they don't get to trot anything out at reInvent. This is an integrated IDE for all of your machine learning needs. While I may think that machine learning is ridiculous hortzbucky that isn't going to turn into anything useful, I think that making it more accessible to more people is absolutely worth doing, so I applaud this release. Amazon Transcribe Medical, real-time automatic speech recognition for healthcare customers. This service's medical lexicon is growing rapidly. It's already been able to surpass the level of he fell on his ass and now his foot's all messed up. We're slowly seeing it improve. Automate OS image build pipelines with EC2 Image Builder. This is an AWS native version of what HashiCorp has released, Packer, years ago, except now it's a managed service. It's just like Packer, except without the good name, the great community, the broad-based support of everything, and a company people adore working on it. Other than that, good luck, Amazon. You've got your work cut out for you on this one. The AWS Deep Composer was released at Midnight Madness, which is when they released their partnership with Disney. That's right. It wasn't public they had a partnership with Disney, but they do. It's called Midnight Madness because it's where they release all of their goofy bullshit. This year's version composes music with generative machine learning models. Now, I kept hearing about this as Decomposer as opposed to Deep Composer, and it kind of works better that way. I'll also point out at this time that a keyboard with AI built in sounds like it's coming for Jeff Barr's job until you realize it's the other kind of keyboard. The question of why did Amazon launch a product made of hardware in late 2019 with USB-B standard a port on the back still stands. It's like it's an ancient printer from the past. AWS ECS cluster autoscaling is now generally available. At least this service is generally available. A different service, I believe it was the LA Local Zone, now claims to be generally available in preview because words apparently don't mean anything anymore. Something that does mean things some more is the AWS Fargate Spot is now generally available. That's right, it's now way less expensive to blur the line between containers and serverless, thus annoying everyone around you. If your service tolerates interruption, convert it to Spot immediately if it's on Fargate and knock 70% off of your spend. Trust me, do it. You'll be glad you did. AWS now available from a local zone in Los Angeles. This one requires some unpacking, given that I spent 12 years living in Los Angeles and used to have a data center downtown there. This is an extension of US West 2 in Oregon. So the Oregon region has expanded to Los Angeles, which starts sounding like an alternative history of the Civil War. Now, it's a neat feature here. It's awesome. They shoved a whole bunch of equipment into Los Angeles for super fast response times to customers in that area who need it. Think media studios. But understand that this is an extension of a region. It's not as durable as the full region itself. So if you need to use it, go ahead and do it. But you absolutely want to go ahead and not use it if that is at all possible for you. It can be operationally expensive because it will not have the same level of durability. Fair warning. When I talked to AWS folks about this concern, they did agree. I'm not saying it's bad. I mean, I'm going to be using it myself, but be forewarned. In fact, we'll be relocating to Los Angeles at the end of March so as to be closer to this local zone because latency matters. In other news, AWS Outposts are now available and you can order yours today. This is great news for companies with extreme latency requirements, specific data sovereignty issues, very specific on-premises needs, or just an irrational fear of any computer that isn't in their building so they can take a sledgehammer to it in a fit of panic when they click the wrong link and their Windows desktop blue screens. They've been talking about this for a solid year. They're now available. You can get yours today. If you have serious hybrid or on-premise needs, take a look at this. Everyone else is talking about this, so I don't need to. You can see something that people aren't talking about nearly as much, and they should be. You can easily manage shared data sets with Amazon S3 access points. This provides very granular endpoints to the same S3 bucket with different permission sets. They talk about this in the context of being ideal or terrific as far as anything involving a data lake goes. It's terrible messaging. Let me explain very clearly here so you understand where I'm coming from. No one, even people at exabyte scale, self-identify as having a data lake. It's a bunch of logs. It's all the images. It's a bunch of binaries. What it's not is a data lake in their own terms. So the people that this is for don't realize it's for them. Secondly, I also think that classifying this as being for big data projects is missing the point. I have tiny data. But I'm still going to use things like this because now different endpoints can access the same data with different permissions levels. Suddenly, the entire world has changed around how we think about access with Amazon S3. I haven't finished figuring out all the various implications of this, but it's huge, and I think the industry is taking it far too lightly. Pay attention. Amazon S3 access points have the potential to change your entire application architecture if you let them, and I strongly suggest you do. Announcing ultra-warm preview for Amazon Elasticsearch Service. Most feature enhancements to Amazon Elasticsearch have gotten a really tepid response. So what do we call this one? We call it Ultra Warm. And that is the story of how AWS accidentally named a service after a type of personal lubricant. This seems an opportune time to talk about a less ridiculous way of dealing with cooler storage with Elasticsearch. That's right, it's that time again. We are talking once again about Chaos Search. They're a lighthearted company. They engage with me and they sponsor podcasts like this, but what they do is serious and seriously awesome. I don't think that you can truly appreciate how obnoxious it is to run Elasticsearch in any of its forms until you've done it. What I like about this is they have completely severed the barrier between compute and storage. You can pay for one, but not the other, except when you need it. They have masterfully accepted that the cloud has taken a vote. And the economically effective and durable storage is object store, not block store that you then need to replicate across multiple AZs. They got rid of cross-AZ data transfer fees by using these things. It fundamentally is fantastic use of Elasticsearch. If you use Elasticsearch for anything, I beseech you, take a look at what they're doing. I would not lie to you. I would not endorse them this strongly if I did not believe in what they do. I'm a believer. Take a look. I suspect you will be too. Check them out at chaossearch.io. That's chaossearch.io. And thank you to them once again for sponsoring my ridiculous babbling. New AWS Step Functions Express Workflows. That's right. You get high performance and low cost. And it's clearly an Amazon product because a faster version of AWS Step Functions would be Amazon Run Functions or Amazon Sprint Functions or Amazon Jog Functions. But no, you get AWS Step Functions Express Workflows. You're welcome. Redshift has expanded to data lake export. That's right. Put expensive data somewhere less expensive and federated query. Query everything that you have with Redshift. Now, understand that this is going to be somewhat constraining depending upon your data model, because one language to query them all means that suddenly you're not able to structure queries as flexibly as you once could. So pay attention, but it's possibly worth taking a look at here. You now get programmatic access to EBS snapshot content. This is a big deal, because right now when you take a snapshot of an EBS volume, you're only getting the differences since the last snapshot. Now, how much data is that? No one knows. So how much is it going to cost? Nobody could possibly tell you. There's no answer here that makes sense. So what are you going to do instead? It's really unclear. Now, at least, you can get better visibility into this and ideally start managing your EBS snapshots responsibly. You should be taking EBS snapshots of any volume you care about. I complain, but it is relatively inexpensive. Their lifecycle policies do let you age them out automatically. And it's worth taking care with your data. I shouldn't have to agitate for that. But that's one of those things that's interesting and important. And lastly, finally, we made it to the end. VPC ingress routing. Simplifying integration of third-party appliances. That's right. Finally, you can take those old decaying network vendors who are gasping their last breath and bring them into the 21st century. You can integrate their virtual appliances to all traffic that is coming in to your VPC. That's right. Suddenly, RSAConf gets a new lease on life from these vendors. AWS can talk to legacy folks much more effectively. And although I like to be snarky about it, there's a serious need for this. And that's it. We made it to the end of the releases. What does it all mean? I think this year it was very clear that AWS isn't really bothering to speak to the startups as much as they used to. They've already got those people's hearts and minds for the most part. Instead, they're talking to the much larger market of enterprises, big E enterprises, who are themselves scared of cloud. And I think that that is the right strategic play. There was a lot more Goldman Sachs and a lot less Netflix hanging out in the keynotes. They are talking about things like Outposts, things about bringing your current environment into cloud, about understanding some workloads won't be pairing with cloud. And that's okay. No matter where you are on your transformation journey, it's okay. That was the message I took from a lot of the keynotes. And I've got to say, it's a hard message to tell. When you get on stage and talk to 40,000 people, and you don't want to alienate any of them, you can't talk past some in favor of the other, everything they announced, everything is important to someone. None of it is important to everyone. So there needs to be an understanding that not every product or service is for you, and that's okay. I'm very curious to see what 2020 brings. I can't see the future because I don't have, wait for it, 2020 vision. However, I think this does bode well for what Amazon is working on, as well as showing that despite they're not putting that consulting slide in the keynote this year, showing year-over-year number of release improvements, that the pace of innovation is not slowing down. So at the end of this long slog, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Chaos Search for sponsoring multiple days. And I also want to thank the various AWS service teams. You folks put up with an awful lot of my crap. And honestly, you don't deserve a lot of it. But because of the nature of the tone that I take, it's the world that we live in. You build amazing things. You are changing the world, and I see you. It's not just someone on stage announcing the service or Jeff Barr writing a blog post. There are engineers, product managers, marketers, people naming this thing presumably somewhere if it's not machine learning already. And you do a tremendous job. It takes work to pull off releases at the scale that you do. I don't know what it takes, but I know it can't be easy. So in conclusion, thank you all to the folks at AWS who work hard to build things for me to make fun of. Thank you much, and I will talk to you next week. I'm Cloud Economist Corey Quinn. This is the AWS Morning Brief.
been a Hubble Pod production.
Stay humble.